So I want to, if you have a Bible, and I know you do, turn to the book of Isaiah. Love this book. I'm currently reading through this book. The book of Isaiah is the prophet of redemption, if you will. No other prophet mentions redeemer, redeemed, redeemed more times than the prophet Isaiah. One of the most quoted prophets in the whole of Scripture. But there are a few chapters in the book of Isaiah that really get to me because of how they're written and what and the content of what they're written about. And so I want to read, let me read the first verse and just bring just a couple thoughts to you. Isaiah, well, let me pray. Father, thank you for our time in worship. Thank you for opening up our understanding. Lord, you pouring in, us realizing who you are and what you do. Thank you for the testimonies of your consistent faithfulness. My God, how you carry us every day, how you know all about our troubles, and how, Lord, you remedy, how you make a way, Lord, where there seemingly is no way. Father, as we come to your word, I pray, Lord, that as we briefly consider, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church right at the point of our need. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So I'm minding my business reading through this book. And I was talking about a few chapters 43 through 48 are some of my most favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah. Because it's where God begins to talk about himself. Now, as you very well know, God is not arrogant. Come on. He's not evangelistic. He does not say things that go beyond the scope of their meaning or the intent. When he says something about himself, it's absolutely true. Amen. And so Psalm or Isaiah 43, God starts, and you have to understand that in chapter 42, Israel has been disobedient. Israel has been rebellious and hard-hearted, and the way you know Israel, we can be as human beings who don't, you know, were resistant to God's ways and his laws and commandments. And God said that he began to judge them. He caused fire to burn amongst them and so forth in the latter part of chapter 42. But then in chapter 43 at verse 1, this is what we read, and I love this. I just want to read the first verse. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Then he says this, you are mine. Now, I love that last line. Oh God, I love that last line. Because, see, I'm a little boy. Now I know you see a man. I said, I know you see a man. Thank you. Okay, come on, church. I just want to make sure you're all here. Okay. I was beginning to get a little nervous. But when I read that, I see God the Father looking down to a son and a daughter and saying, you are mine. Now you have to understand, I'm still on YouTube looking at all these videos about the cosmos, and you know, and this man said last night, he said, I want you to know, I was listening to this, not a debate, but just a little talk, it was a secular talk, and the guy said, you know, we all came from stardust, because they believe that, you know, organic life, chemical life produced organic life, and boop, out we popped. and that we're all from stardust. Then I turn to this and read this, where God says, you are mine. God, I just want to scream. I just want to exalt in glory, because that is the truth, beloved. That is the truth. Not in a general way, as we'll find out next week, but in a specific way. So without going into my message, I'm going to leave the first verse alone, because that's what next week's message will be on. Then he goes on and he says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Anybody been in some waters lately? And you say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if I've been in water. I can tell you how you've been if you're in some waters. When you're just walking through life and something hits you and you go like this. Something moves you. You know, it moves you this way and it moves you. And you feel things just blowing into your life and moving into your life. That's how you can tell if you're in some waters. He said, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Amen? He's the anchor of the soul. When you, he says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. He didn't say if you walk through the fire. He said when you walk through the fire. I got news. Listen, beloved, there's fires all around. And there's water all around. These things that come and want to kindle upon us, and want to, but they're the outside forces that come upon us. And aren't you glad that he's not an outside force? See, to Israel, he was. He was external. But God to us, he's internal. He's living on the inside. It says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You know what I like about, I'm going to jump back up to verse 1. What I like about verse 1 is that Israel, if you remember my teaching on the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, when you read the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, God never tells the Ephesians to do anything. I like that. Know why? Because what he's saying in it is that I've already done everything. Therefore, right now, you do nothing. And in verse 1, when God says, thus says the Lord who created you and formed you, I've redeemed you, I've called you by name, you are mine. Do you know what Israel did? Nothing. Nothing. It is all God initiated. He created. He formed. Adam was not running after God saying, I need your redemption, Lord. He was running the opposite way. Redemption is God initiated. Not only for them, but for us. Because I don't remember, I know you didn't see me chasing down the Lord saying, I need redemption. No. Right? So it's God initiated. I love that. We didn't call ourselves. God called you. God called me. All of this is God initiated. All right. Let me jump down to verse 4. Because God did what he did for this reason. Since you were precious in my sight. Now, listen. God wrote this to natural Israel, but he also wrote it to spiritual Israel. Now, a lot of times when you're in worship, if you're not sitting next to Carl, you don't know this is going on. But when we sing a song that says, he is lovely, Carl changes it and says, you are lovely. He personalizes it. I can hear him, see? He's been doing this for years. Why? Because he's not singing about somebody. He's singing to somebody, right? So when we read this, God wrote this to ancient Israel, but he also wrote it to spiritual Israel. That means to you and I. So when I read verse 4, I'm saying to God, you mean I'm precious? He said, that's what I said. See, he redeemed us. He called us. He created us. He formed us. He called us his own. Why? Was it because I prayed last week? Was it because I read the Bible through last year? Maybe I read it through 3 times. No. No. The reason is you are precious. In my sight, you are precious. Now, beloved, that may not get a hold of you right now. Maybe it will, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that tore me up. When God says, see, because when you're reading the scripture and the Spirit gets a hold of that thing, it's not just words coming off a page. It's the voice of God spoken to you. And he said, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Jeremiah 31:3 says that I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with cords of loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. Right? And so he goes on and says, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. I love verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Wonder why you're here? Wonder why we're walking around taking up oxygen? Wonder what is my purpose? Pastor, please tell me what to do. Live for the glory of God. So simple. So simple, right there in the scripture. Whom I have created for my glory. We were created for him. The rest of that verse says, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. When God creates something, create means, I'm getting into my message. Create means to bring into existence. Yes. But form means, after God brings you to an existence, form, it has the idea that pressing and pressure to bring form to something. So God creates us, but he also forms us. And the pressures of this life, he uses to bring form to us. Come on, that's why we're not now what we eventually will be. So don't judge me now. Wait till you see the finished product. Wait till God gets done. Amen. verse 8, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. This is the scripture I was quoting to you earlier. Listen, you are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen. For what purpose? That you may know and believe me. God has created us. Part of that purpose is to be a witness. Part of that purpose is to know and believe me. And he goes on and says, and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. And so we understand, at any rate, that if a God had to be formed, that God is not a God, because you don't make a God. That was one of the assumptions that how God confounds the wisdom of the wise of this world. these men that I was watching last night on this video, I didn't get to watch it all, but one is a professor at Oxford and Cambridge in England. I mean, these are the very top educated people, okay? One theoretical biologist or something, another an astrophysicist. I mean, these people are educated to the nth degree. And it just blows your mind how they would say something. Oh, what one of the things that they said was this, and it just floored me. I'm like, God, your word is true, because you hide these things from the wise and you reveal them unto babes. I mean, like, God, because I'm simply a babe when it comes to knowledge. I don't have a lot of knowledge. These people have all the knowledge, and they say things like this. Well, if the universe were created by God, that leaves us with a problem. Where did God come from? As if you have to know everything? As if you have to know where God came from? Hello? There are things you don't know. There are things you will never know. It's like, so they postulated that God couldn't possibly exist because he has to have an origin. Hello? For real? That's what their educated mind is telling them. Since we can't measure him, because science is supposed to be based off of what we can measure and empirical knowledge, right? And so if we can't measure it, if we test it, well, then it must not exist. And I'm like, Lord, they cannot, when it says bring out the blind people who have eyes, that was them. They have eyes, but they're totally blind. Yeah. They have ears, but they're totally deaf. Yeah. Can't hear God. Yeah. Can't hear what he was saying. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. And yet people are looking for Saviors around every corner. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. There was no one who could deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? I work, and who will reverse it? When I read that scripture, I think about my wife. Think how she washes clothes, and then one of us will come in from working out, take off our clothes, throw it in the hamper. You know, every now and again, you say, well, gee whiz, work ain't never done. No, God says, I work, and who will reverse it? I work, you can reverse.
Right.
It doesn't matter what man does. You can tear it up. You can tear it up. You can be working and slaving. The girls who used to work for me washing these pads in our business, the guys would use these pads to clean carpet, and they had these stacks of pads to wash, and they'd be washing for 8-9 hours. And right when they get done, the last one, they say, I finished my work. The guys would come in from the end of the day and throw bucket loads of pads, dirty pads, back on the floor. And then the girls would say to me, you know what, Otto, I can't never get done. I said, but your job is not to never wash again. Your job is to keep washing. That's your work. But she would feel like, my work is all undone. You just undid all my work. No. No. God says, I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Let me read a few more. Verses. Thus says the Lord who makes, because this is the passage of Scripture where we get our sound, God will make a way. Okay? Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. God has formed us for himself. I cannot say that enough. Because when we find ourselves unfulfilled, could it be because we are not doing or we are not being about what God made us for? And if he made us for himself, then we only find fulfillment when we are doing those things that pleases him. Very simple. 49, taking me a long time to understand that. All right. I'm going to stop there. We will take up next week with Isaiah 43:1. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all of who you are. And then, Lord, what it is you do so wonderfully and so beautifully. Father, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that has saved us, that has given us the gift of faith and the gift of eternal life. And Father, we pray, Lord, that each one of us would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all this week, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen, amen, and amen. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God bless you. Amen.